seeking the right transformational path to your destiny? Welcome to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with your host, Dr. Yomi Garnett. You can find growth, personal strength, and discovery no matter where you are in life right now. Truly enlightened people follow a regimented course, and you can too. Starting now, here is Dr. Yomi Garnett.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. Today is going to be a very exciting day because we are going to be speaking on a particularly poignant and important subject, the art of self-leadership. And I have with me a guest in the UK. Yemi Akinsinwaju is the founder and chief executive officer of Dayspring Consulting, the United Kingdom, and is the author of the acclaimed personal development book, Scorecard, Achieving Success and Balance in a Turbulent World. Also known as the Leadership Catalyst, Yemi demonstrates a vibrant passion in helping to transform lives by raising quality leaders at all levels of human enterprise. Now widely acclaimed as one of the United Kingdom's dynamic leadership authorities, his signature Global Leadership Summit attracts internationally respected leadership experts and business visionaries as speakers. Hundreds of leaders and aspiring leaders from around the world have experienced high-impact transformational leadership training that have revolutionized their lives and business enterprises through his programs. Yemi has been a speaker or conference facilitator at major business training events in the United Kingdom, including Business 2012, one of Europe's largest business events featuring Sir Richard Branson and Lord Alan Sugar. He speaks nationally and internationally on the subjects of personal and organizational leadership, building high-performance teams, business optimization strategies. With over 12 years' expertise in leadership development, business management, consulting, and personal growth training, Yemi Akinsinwaju has helped hundreds of clients, ranging from multi-million pound public sector institutions to small business enterprises in the United Kingdom, the United States, and beyond, to rapidly improve their results and accelerate their success. Through the hundreds of articles he has written, some of which have been featured in leading publications in the UK and around the world, his speaking engagements, his book and radio and TV appearances, Yemi has helped tens of thousands of people rediscover and maximize their unique leadership potential and radically transform their lives and businesses. On this particular episode, this epochal episode, now Yemi is doing something wonderful. He is magnanimously making a free gift offer to you, the listener, the audience, of the digital copy of his book, Scorecard, Achieving Success and Balance in a Turbulent World. Please visit his website to claim your free copy. That will be www.yemiakinsinwaju.com/free7. He'll give you this address later during the course of today's episode. Yemi, welcome to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Thank you ever so much for having me, Yomi. It's a pleasure and a privilege to spend some time with you and your wonderful audience. Looking forward to some exciting times.
I am elated to have you, Yemi. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Now, Yemi, we are talking about the art of self-leadership. Now, I just want to say a few words before we kick off in earnest. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ made a statement. He said, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but fail to notice the log in your own eye?" Now, in my carefully considered opinion, Yemi, the first step in becoming an effective leader is to take a good look in the mirror and confidently proclaim that you are a leader yourself. Indeed. And in mastering this sort of leading yourself, you automatically lay the foundation for assisting others to do the same. Now, let us take a quick quiz before proceeding any further. Now, to the average person in our audience today, which of these should be the first in his quest to lead others? Is it bend the will of others to his by taking a more commanding stance? Is it polishing his charisma so that he can inspire others to do what he wants? Is it developing an uncanny ability to identify people's wants and then incentivize them with these wants to obtain compliance with whatever it is it takes to lead them? Is it consistently unearthing the shortcomings and inadequacies of others? Or is it castigating them for their failures until they are intimidated to do his bidding? Well, what I think, Yemi, is that none of this meets the passmark, because all of this may confer a pervasive influence on him, even if only in the short term, but ultimately will fail to provide a proper foundation for truly effective leadership. I think, Yemi, that the first step is a critical look in the mirror to pick out the log in one's own eye, as Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. Yemi, how would you define self-leadership?
Well, thank you ever so much for that. That's a very, very erudite description of one of the challenges of our age, really. I think to really define self-leadership, I guess I'll have to go back also to the words of an ancient sage who once declared that it is better to be able to rule one's spirit than to be able to take a city. Now he said, you know, the one who can rule his own spirit, who has self-control, is actually greater and more powerful than a man or a warrior who can sack a city. And that is so true, especially in our 21st century world. So for me, really, self-leadership really is about the process, and it is a process of discovering, refining, releasing, and maximizing one's personal potential in the fulfillment of their own specific and unique personal purpose. Now, I have crafted that as a seemingly long-winded statement, but it's important to understand that it is a process. Because sometimes when people think about leadership, they think it's just about them arriving at a position. You know, perhaps somebody appoints them or anoints them to a position and they have arrived as a leader. But nothing could be further from the truth. You know, real leadership starts first with self, and it's about, first of all, discovering who you really are. Like you rightly pointed out, it's about being able to look in the mirror and say to yourself, this is who I am. In fact, I'd like to say that every effective leader is on a quest to answer five major questions of life. And the first of those five questions is, who am I really? It's about their self-identity. You know, who am I? And then we talk about, what can I do? What is their potential? And then we talk about, where am I going? What is my destination? What are the things that right in the depths of me I really want to accomplish for the benefit of humanity? So it is really a continuum where we start at self-discovery, and the overflow of that self-discovery works its way out into us being a positive influence on our immediate environment, or even a larger environment like our communities, our nations, and even our world. And especially with the advent of technology today, you know, anyone who has really discovered themselves, discovered their mission, discovered their sense of purpose, can literally influence the entire world. Okay, so that really, in a nutshell, is what I would say is my definition, as it were, of self-leadership. You know, discovering, refining, releasing, and then maximizing your own unique personal potential in the pursuit of your discovered purpose.
Thank you very much, Yemi. That is, in my opinion, a brilliant strategy. And listeners, I was particularly taken and fascinated by those self-analytical questions that Yemi alluded to, which included, who am I? What can I do? Where am I going? Now, usually, Yemi, when we think about leadership, what comes to mind is a leader influencing a follower. As a matter of fact, when we find ourselves in a position of leadership, our preeminent prompting is to think that our job is to tell others what to do. In a nutshell, as leaders, We are expected to evaluate the performance of our followers
and
to prescribe how they need to improve on that performance. And naturally, our followers are expected to make themselves amenable to instruction.
Right.
However, Yemi, the subject of leadership can be approached from a refreshingly different angle, in my opinion. And the first challenge is to subject ourselves to a session of brutal self-analysis and make necessary adjustments in our worldview before even attempting to lead other people.
So true.
For most people, this can be an exceedingly difficult pill to swallow. Haven't you discovered, Yemi?
I certainly have encountered that. In fact, in my work as a consultant, you know, traveling around, you know, different parts of the UK, one of the issues I always find is that, you know, senior managers and executives usually have a blind spot about their own personal weaknesses and how it actually impacts on their teams and on their team's ability to perform. Because real leadership, really, first of all, is about the example that you set. You know, someone once, a wise man once said that, you know, what you do rings so loud, I can't hear what you're saying.
Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
So the key really is to understand that, yes, there is a, I guess there are three elements of leadership. There's a task to be delivered. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There's the personal, the individual life. That's encapsulated by that leadership. There's a task, and then there's the corporate objective that integrates both the individual and the task to be accomplished, and also its interactions with the wider stakeholder group. Many leaders usually focus on the task, and they focus on the impact on the community, but they always leave out, you know, the real kernel of effective leadership, which is their own example and how they're actually modeling what they expect of their followers.
That is really interesting. This is really interesting, especially because you discovered this in the crucible of your own practice as a leadership expert.
Is this not true? Absolutely.
So it will seem then that making this incipient step, one subject, it should be one that people should avoid the temptation of skipping. Because after all, nothing can be more gratifying than identifying problems in other people and proffering solutions to them. And even more attractive is the prospect of commanding and directing others, as this not only massages our ego, but makes us feel superior, special, and competent.
Yeah, I know. Well, unfortunately, that's a mistake that many leaders make. I think my philosophy of leadership, and I've had the benefit of testing it out over, you know, the last 12 odd years in different organizations, is this: that true leadership really is a voluntary partnership between the leader and the follower.
Wow, that's a good way to put it. Awesome.
You know, say, whenever a leader forgets the voluntary nature of this partnership, they automatically cross an invisible line into coercion or manipulation. You see, because every follower, every genuine follower, really voluntarily chooses to follow you because they are attracted to something they see in you, either a vision you're articulating or some characteristics you're demonstrating that you're modeling that makes them want to follow you voluntarily. The moment you lose the essence of what actually attracts them voluntarily, and you find that you have to begin to massage or manipulate their followership, you are no longer a true leader.
Wow, that's absolutely well put. Now, in the context of what we are saying, just to round up this particular segment, now, Yemi, how important do you consider self-leadership for the current or aspiring leader in today's world?
Well, I think it's hard to overestimate the power of self-leadership and its importance to leadership in the corporate arena. In fact, I'd hazard, you know, to say that without self-leadership, no public leadership can be sustained over the long period. And that's why you find out that there are lots of organizations today which are literally imploding. You know, names like Enron, see, names like Olympus in Japan, names like Barron's in the UK, names like Lehman Brothers. All of these are examples of organizations where they had some form of corporate leadership. They were dominating their industries. However, when the leaders began to eschew the principles of proper self-leadership that's anchored on the right values and the right moral fabric, it began to impact on the way they made decisions and in the way in which they run their businesses, which ultimately caused those businesses to fail. So it is very, very, in fact, absolutely critical to public or corporate leadership that personal or self-leadership is solid, it is properly put together, it is well established. In fact, I'd say it's the seed out of which effective public leadership can grow.
Yes.
If the seed is corrupt, automatically the fruit you get is tainted.
Yes, absolutely. Well put. Well, we've come to the end of the first segment of today's episode, and we'll just take 3 minutes commercial break and we'll be back. Don't forget, we have with us one of Britain's most accomplished leadership experts, Yemi Akinsewaju. Keep a date with us in a few minutes' time.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at stonebridgepublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today. What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yemi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome back to today's second segment of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. Our highly esteemed guest, Yemi Akinsewaju, founder, chief executive officer of Dayspring Consulting United Kingdom, has just been telling us that the very suggestion that since we believe we are aware of the problems of others and that we have the solutions to these problems and can direct those solutions to our own problems can be quite disconcerting. And this is because it is indeed a log, a blind spot, as he puts it, that can quite easily blind us to our own shortcomings. And I'll stretch it further, Yemi, by saying the truth is that we are generally more inclined to to focus on the shortcomings of others, which are almost invariably minor problems or specks, as it were, rather than on our own big log. To put it in other words, we tend to ignore our own log by presuming that we are the heroes that should direct and control others, when we have not yet set aside time to critically examine our own humanness and shortcomings. Well, this, in essence, translates to being blinded by a gratifying feeling of power over other people, conveniently enabling us to forget just how flawed we are ourselves. And so I'd like to submit that the authentic and real foundation for effective leadership is predicated upon incisive self-examination and a genuine willingness to crave self-improvement. And that indeed, a reluctance to engage in this candid and honest self-evaluation and ameliorative process can see us doing more harm than good in this world. Now, Yemi, within in the background of what you've put so brilliantly in the last segment, what would you say is the most important factor that diminishes the effectiveness of today's leaders more than any other?
Well, thank you so much for that, Yemi. Essentially, I think the fundamental challenge that diminishes the effectiveness of leaders is what I will simply put as a lack of integrity. Now, a lack of integrity really, I think, for me, goes beyond not just what you might call honesty. Because most people, when we talk about integrity, they're saying, okay, you always tell the truth. Yes. And that then is integrity. However, for me, integrity is a bit broader in the sense that it's about going from first foundations of what it takes to be an effective leader and being authentic as a person. Because you see, it is possible to tell the truth with the wrong motives. If you get my drift.
Absolutely.
So as a leader, as an example, okay? Now, if I have, you know, someone who's a member of my team, now I can be brutally honest about what it is I see that is wrong in them. However, my motive in doing so may be to actually demean them or to diminish them or to fulfill a certain hidden agenda that I have.
I see.
So telling the truth or being honest is not necessarily just all it takes to be a person of integrity. It's about integrating your words, your thoughts, your deeds, your motives in a way that is enhancing not just of yourself, but of others. And I think that's one of the central challenges that we have. When we look at our world today, one of the greatest challenges of leadership is real integrity. And it stems right from, you know, what happens in our homes, you know, husbands with wives, husbands with children. You hear stories of, you know, fathers abusing their children. You know, you go into churches, you hear of pastors and leaders abusing their congregation. You go into the public arena, like we gave, you know, examples earlier of corporate executives abusing the trust of their employees. You know, you go into national arena, you hear of leaders, you know, engaging in all manner of shenanigans, okay? Why? Because we have not come back to the place of understanding that every person that we encounter in the course of our work, in the course of our daily living, really has one central question at the back of their minds. And that question always is this: can I really trust you? It doesn't matter how skilled I am as a leader. It doesn't matter how competent I am as a leader. It doesn't matter how charismatic I may be as a leader. Every person I meet, at the back of their mind, is asking one question: Yemi, can I trust you? Are you trustworthy? Are you a person of integrity? Okay. When you can answer that question, okay, not just by the words that I speak, but by the actions that I take that demonstrates my integrity, then I win the trust of people who are willing to follow me voluntarily. And I think that is the central issue that we're facing right across the world. you know, in nations in Africa, in nations in the Middle East, in America, you know, the central cry of most followers is, please give us leaders of integrity. There are many leaders who've come to positions, you know, giving us many promises about what it is they want to accomplish, but very, very quickly we realized that they actually gave those promises to secure the position without a real sense of integrity.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to read between the lines, and some thoughts immediately come to me. And one thought that comes to me immediately is that if the impression is inadvertently created that it is inherently abhorrent to try to influence and lead others, that will not be entirely accurate.
True.
On the contrary, Yemi, the provision of honest, constructive, and ethical leadership would seem to be a great act of service. Would you agree?
I agree with you totally.
Good. Now,
before you even go into that, something I just wanted to pick up on what you just said.
Please,
the fact
please.
That wanting to lead is not inherently wrong. In fact, I think it's the way we are wired. Every human being, okay, funny enough, doesn't want to be led. We want to follow, and we were created to lead.
That's right.
You know, in fact, that for me is a central proposition in the work that I do. I believe very passionately about the fact that every human on the planet was born to lead. We're born to lead in a specific area of gifting, in our own particular unique area of leadership and strength. Now, we know that we have that strength. We know that's our own area of leadership. But we also recognize intrinsically that somebody else has something that I need. And so we want to follow that person. But we don't want that person to impose their will on us. Even little children, okay, who are normally compliant, have inherently in them a desire not to be dominated by another human being.
True. Absolutely true.
So inherently, they see in themselves the capacity to lead. They want to be independent. They want to make decisions for themselves. That is an intrinsic trait in every human. And yet, we also want to follow someone because we are aware that everything we want to accomplish in life will take interdependence, interlinking with somebody else who can take us somewhere where we want to go. But we want to make sure that it is somebody who has earned our trust and that they will treat us with the respect and dignity that we deserve. You know, I always say that every human being has an invisible label on their forehead. And that label says, make me feel important. And every leader who forgets that, you know, very, very quickly slides into areas of manipulation of followers.
Absolutely. So maybe what you are saying here, Yemi, is that basically it is just that leadership must ultimately be seen as coming from an honest appreciation of our own humanness.
Absolutely.
Which in itself is perhaps a solid and caring base of humility and a pragmatic comprehension of that unique human struggle that we all encounter as we make our valiant, what I call a valiant attempt to be right with our own life and with the world.
Indeed.
For me, this also presupposes a model of leadership that acknowledges the value of each person. And that is why I subscribe in totality to this label that is plastered on everyone's forehead that proclaims, make me feel important.
So true.
And the only way that this can be validated is if it is exercised from an angle of compassionate sense of caring and an abiding commitment to the well-being of the person you are leading.
Indeed, indeed.
And now, Yemi, for me, and I'm sure for you, this model of leadership also recognizes that each of us is fundamentally a self-leader.
Indeed, absolutely.
That takes me to the next question I have for you, Yemi.
Thank you.
And that is, what are your key principles or practices in raising and mentoring other leaders?
Right. Well, thank you so much for that, Yemi. Certainly, the first principle is the having a philosophy that every person that you meet is a potential leader. In fact, one of my friends and mentors once said this, and it's a sentiment with which I totally agree. He says, trapped inside every follower is a great leader. And so that is a fundamental principle that I start with, that every person that I meet, every person that I potentially want to develop as a leader already comes prepackaged with their own unique leadership potential. So the key really is to help them discover that and unleash it. So how do you do that? The first is one, investing time with them. You know, when I go to a lot of organizations, one of the things that I find quite amazing, and when I consult with organizations, I do interim management projects with them, often is they have appraisals with their staff, you know, periodic appraisals, and 95 to 99% of the appraisals revolve around the tasks that that individual is actually doing in the workplace. Rarely do supervisors or managers actually get down to helping those people they are appraising actually discover what are their real passions, what makes them go, what exactly is it they feel is their major contribution to this world, what exactly do they think they offer of significance to the world beyond the day-to-day job they're doing. And oftentimes when I've encountered a lot of staff who are going through these kind of appraisals, it's amazing that if you just take the time to ask them this question, what exactly is your passion? What exactly do you see yourself doing with your life? Beyond how do you see yourself in this job in the next 3 years or 5 years? It's a completely different question. They truly come alive. You begin to discern what their own unique leadership gifting is. So one, you need to spend time with individuals to discover who they really are. Find out what motivates them, what drives them. Because only when people begin to work in the center of what their own unique passion is, that you can begin to explore and see them release their own real leadership gift. So that's the first thing. Spend quality time with these leaders or aspiring leaders. The second thing is delegate effectively, responsibly to people who you're training to become leaders. You know, the thing with leadership is this. You don't generally learn leadership from reading, okay? You learn leadership from doing. See, when I was in the university, one of the things I learned very quickly is that there were people who could talk the talk, but when the rubber really hits the road, you find out that they don't actually have what it takes to lead. But how do you get to lead? By actually getting some element of practice in leadership. Give people tasks that will stretch them, that will enable them to practice their own creativity, to unleash their own ingenuity, to take their own initiative. That is what leadership is about. Help them discover who they are by testing their own limits, by testing their own capacity, okay? And then take the time to actually coach them. You know, every successful leader that I have met, and I've met quite a few over the years, every successful leader that I have read about always points back to a mentor in their life. You know, Nelson Mandela, one of the most notable leaders, you know, of our generation, really, he had his mentor, Walter Sisulu. You know, the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom, Lady Margaret Thatcher, she had a mentor who was a minister in the cabinet. Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States of America, he had a mentor, Mr. Sperling, who was his music teacher. So every great leader has had a mentor who took an interest in them, who took an interest in their passion, who took an interest in their lives. And that is what I seek to do as a practice, that when I engage with any potential leader or any aspiring leader, I commit myself to mentoring them, you know, by helping them realize that, yes, you can make mistakes, but it's part of the growth process. You see, every leader makes mistakes. Every leader goes through challenges. The key is having a mentor who has traveled that path, who can stretch their hands towards you, lift you up when you have fallen, dust you off, and say, listen, keep going. You can make it. You can be all you were born to be. And that's what I seek to do through my work. You know, when I go, you know, speaking engagements, or when I go into organizations and I do training programs for them, or sometimes when I do interim management products, projects, and I'm interacting with lots of staff and managers within an organization or executives, it's always helping them understand that leadership is a process. And that process means that you have to actually engage with people's lives. Okay, leadership is an integrated, you know, life experience. It's not just, you know, I do leadership in my job and I'm not a leader in my home, or I do leadership at my home and I'm not a leader. If you're a leader, you're a leader. Wherever you are, the fundamentals of leadership, self-leadership, permeate every part of our lives. Okay? And so anybody that I, you know, seek to mentor, seek to grow as a leader, I start with this basic proposition that, listen, it's about your life. So I delegate tasks, I delegate opportunities, I give them, you know, the leeway, as it were, to test their hands at leadership and get some experience at it.
I see. Yemi, thank you so much. I just seek to summarize what you said in the past few minutes. The first thing is that invest quality time in these aspiring leaders.
Absolutely.
And the second thing is that you delegate responsibility to people that you are training.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I think this was brilliantly put. We'll take a break now. And when we come back into the final segment, we'll go into certain deeper aspects of the art of self-leadership. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today.
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. You are listening to Dream the Life,
Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome to the third and last episode of last segment of today's episode of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. Just before we broke off, Yemi, I wanted to share with you and the listeners my own motivation for self-leadership. Yeah. See, what I discovered is that much to my delight and humility, things tend to proceed more satisfactorily the less I try to control, direct, and lead people. Mm. I have been humbled to realize that quite often, my best work seems to result from those times when I have simply, patiently, and sincerely listened, helping people to unravel what is best for them, which also means permitting them to work out their own unique solutions to their own problems. I have discovered in the enlightening process that when I try to be the all-wise counselor, expertly forcing my own concepts, ideas, and knowledge down the throats of others, I am merely being intrusive on their own journey to authentic self-discovery. And this is why I agree with you that one of our principal motivators should be to seek to permit people to discover their own particular giftings, what I tend to call their own individual spark of brilliance.
I like that.
Now, the best teachers, in my humble and carefully considered opinion, are those who acknowledge just how limited their own knowledge really is and are consistently prepared to learn and improve themselves. And even better, they insightfully recognize that the real experts are their students and clients who have to live with their challenges every day. And in this context, perhaps the easier way out of the dilemma is simply to, as much as possible, neutralize those heavy logs that are blinding us and help others to remove those relatively tiny specks that are standing in the way of the resolution of their own barely hidden solutions. And to put this more quaintly, and in other words, we will end up being of greater utility if we humbly assume that most people probably have a far greater grasp of their problems than we do.
Yemi,
what motivates you most? What motivates you most as a leader, and why does it motivate you?
Well, thank you very much. That's a really brilliant question, Yomi. Well, what motivates me is a sense of purpose, knowing that every individual I meet has the capacity to transform our world. I love the way you put it. Every individual has their own unique spark of brilliance. And what motivates me is helping light that spark within them. Because oftentimes, a lot of people are not so aware of how great they truly can be. And let me give you a personal example. Many, many, many years ago, I was working in a job earning the equivalent of about, I'd say, probably about £3 an hour, okay? Which is pretty poor pay, okay? Working in a job at that time, in a civil service job. And I'd been doing it for probably about eight or nine months in a public service department. And through the raft of privatizations that was going on in the UK at the time, that particular department was outsourced to a private company. As it happens, the manager from that private company, who then became the manager over my department, was conducting his appraisals, his annual appraisal, his monthly appraisals with all the different staff. So he'd, you know, done the appraisals for everybody. Then he came up to my appraisal. So he sat with me. I brought my notebook ready to write whatever instructions he was going to give me on what I needed to improve for the next month in my job. Julian looked at me, smiled, pause for about a minute. It was a bit of an uncomfortable minute for me, wondering, you know, what exactly have I done wrong now? Okay. And he smiled after a minute and looked at me and said, Yemi, I have just one question for you. What on earth are you doing here? And I said, I beg your pardon. He said, Yemi, you are doing what you're doing here befuddles my mind. You are much better and much greater than what you're doing here. I paused, I smiled, I said, thank you. And that one sentence energized me to go back to school, study, get my master's degree in business, go back out and begin to actually follow my passion. So you see, one person can make a difference. And in a way that has served as the trigger for the work that I do, the fact that every person that I meet has the potential to transform someone's life. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been engaging with a number of youths in London, doing some training programs with them on the art of effective public speaking. And one of the things that repeatedly comes out when we finish our workshop sessions together is they come to me and say, thank you so much. I never really realized how much I could do, how much I could accomplish, how I could influence my environment, how I could change my world. And when they say that, it makes me light up. It makes me get excited, you know, about what it is I do and, you know, the people that I'm able to reach. So really what motivates me, you know, in a nutshell, is helping to light the spark of brilliance in other people. I suppose in a way that's where my moniker came from, you know, as you rightly mentioned during my introduction, your kind introduction of me. I'm called the leadership catalyst. And a catalyst simply helps to catalyze what's already in there. You know, the catalyst simply works with what's already within to accelerate it and make it produce the results that it's meant to produce. And that really is what motivates me. So I am simply a catalyst for the release of the unique leadership potential that lies within each and every person that I meet. And that excites me.
I see. Yemi, again, well, I guess this brings me to the issue of role modeling, because I now have this profound insight that perhaps another great advantage to be more effective as a leader is that not only do we come into a better understanding and empathy for other people and their problems, but we also unwittingly become role models of sorts. And being a role model in this mold does not necessarily translate into desiring others to imitate us blindly. The way I see it, Yemi, is that rather we should strive to be an example of someone who has sincerely and courageously confronted his own inadequacies in personal effectiveness and found his own safe turf. And as a result, is now in a good position to help other people discover their own turf of effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the greatest compliment that anyone can receive is perhaps somebody giving you the feedback such as, thank you so much. You really do practice what you preach. And that leads me on to one question I've been dying to ask you, Yemi, and that is, what is one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess?
Well, at several points in our talk today, we really alluded to it. And that characteristic really is humility. Humility to recognize that not only is there greatness in them, but there's greatness in every person that they meet.
Yes.
Humility in recognizing that as powerful as they are today, there's so much more that they can do.
That's right.
Humility in recognizing that as much as they can influence their world, there are other people out there who have a unique ability, a unique gifting, who they also need to be submitted to in interdependence. Okay, to make our world a better place. So humility is absolutely critical. You know, it is said that pride goes before a fall, and the higher you go, the harder the fall. That is true when the simple philosophy or virtue of humility departs from the leader. You know, there's an old saying, I don't hear it much these days, but it's something we used to say a lot when I was much younger. It is, those whom the gods will seek to destroy, they will first make mad.
Okay. Yeah, very
essentially, the madness comes from a sense of pride in that, yes, I am all that. In fact, it leads me on to one of the phrases that I personally detest. When I hear people say, oh, somebody is a self-made millionaire or a self-made success or a self-made this, it absolutely is quite galling to me, because my philosophy is there's no such thing as a self-made anything. Okay? Any and everything you are is a product, is a composite of many lives that have touched me, that have touched you, that has touched that leader. So for someone to stand in some place and say, I am a self-made this, for me is the heights, is the beginning and the manifestation of arrant arrogance. Okay? So every leader really must have that at the very core of their being, humility, that there's so much that I can do, there's so much I need to learn. Because if I'm not humble, then the principles we've been talking about earlier, this idea that we have to continually self-examine, you know, pretty much flies out the window. Because if I think that I'm all that, then obviously there's no reason for me to look to change. There's no reason for me to look to improve. There's no reason for me to explore even critics, you know, the opinions of some critics who say to me, look, Yemi, you're not doing this right. And yet there can be some legitimacy in the comments that I made about my leadership. You know, many years ago, I remember I was working in a job at that time, and I was doing the best as I could as a leader. But like I said earlier, I had some blind spots about some of the work I was doing and how I was communicating to my staff. And you know, one of the staff was leaving, you know, and I gave him a personal exit interview. Apart from what the organization did, the organization will give, you know, exit interviews about, you know, what is it you loved about the workplace, you know, and you know, why you live in blah, blah, blah. I gave him a personal one saying, what do you see in me as a leader? And it's something that I actually advocate in any organization that I work with, that they need to embrace the principle of 360-degree leadership, where the leader is not appraised just by his boss or his manager, but allows himself to be appraised by those who are subject to the beauties or the deficiencies of his leadership. You see? So, and 360 degrees leadership means that I'm humble enough to receive feedback from those who have voluntarily partnered with me in this leadership journey. As John Maxwell once said, he said, he who is leading and no one is following is merely taking a long walk. Okay? And what you don't is to be a self-proclaimed leader who has a group of or a team supposedly following you, but they've mentally, emotionally, or psychologically disconnected from you.
That's right.
You see? So every leader, I believe, must have the humility to self-examine continually, see how they can improve, and see what it is they need to do to sharpen their edge in contributing their own quota to the enhancement of humanity.
Thank you so much, Yemi Akinsuwaju.
Thank you so
this
much.
This has been a brilliant outing. Unfortunately, just like everything on earth has to come to an end, today's episode has to come to an end. And as we blithely and glossily slide to an auspicious close to today's episode, Yemi, I want you to do two things for your listeners. The first is, I want you to tell them about that beautiful gift of your book you have for them. And then the second thing, I want you to tell them how they can easily connect with you.
Thank you ever so much, Yomi. I want to say first, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been a tremendous privilege and honor to spend time with you and to share this insight with your audience. It's been a really, real great pleasure. For your audience, like I said, I've been privileged to write and author this book called Scorecard, Achieving Success and Balance in a Turbulent World. So your audience can go to my website, yemiakinsuaju.com/free7. That's the number 7. Free 7. Enter in their details and they'll get access to that book. I mean, that book, the foreword to that book was written by one of the world's global leadership experts, Dr. Miles Monroe. And in his foreword, he said, this book is destined to be a classic that will transform lives. And I'm happy to say that that book is transforming lives on at least 5 continents around the world. And I'm receiving messages, you know, regularly of people who've read the book. Some of the principles have been published in other publications, in magazines, in different parts around the world. So it's a powerful resource for anyone who really wants to up their game and improve the results they get in their lives as a leader or as an aspiring leader. It helps them overcome many of the challenges that we face in our world today. So again, the website is yemiakinsuaju.com /free7. Also, to connect with me, you can go to my website. On my website, you'll see a contact us page there. Enter your details. You can contact me. Also, I'm very active on social media. So you can contact me via Facebook. It's type in my name, Yemi Akinsuaju. Or you can also type in the Leadership Catalyst and you'll find me on Facebook. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. Again, type in my name, Yemi Akinsuaju. You can connect with me. I receive connections from anybody provided it's a real human being who really
That's
wants
right. to Thank you so much.
Thank you
Yemi,
so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a brilliant and awesome time. And I'll leave you with a prayer. Yemi, may the best you have seen up till this time be the worst you'll ever see in your life.
Thank you ever so much. Very safe to you and to your audience.
Thank you very much. I'll see you next week.
Thank you again for tuning us in this week. Please join Dr. Yomi Garnett next Thursday for another edition of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. Thursdays at 7 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Find enlightenment this week, and we'll talk again in the next one.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.